To US politics now, and Donald Trump appears willing to walk away from the special relationship with Britain, saying it looks likely he won't have a good relationship with the Prime Minister David Cameron if he becomes president. The comments come after Mr. Cameron criticised Mr. Trump's plan to ban Muslims entering the US. Earlier I spoke to our Washington correspondent Simon Marks about Mr. Trump's not-so-special relationships.
Yes, Donald Trump essentially saying that the special relationship that has traditionally existed between London and Washington, D.C. could be at risk if he becomes President of the United States, because he was asked by a British television interviewer whether he was going to be able to find a way of working with David Cameron, given the fact that David Cameron has accused Mr. Trump of espousing ideas that are stupid, reckless and divisive. And he said, you know, at the end of the day, we probably just aren't going to be able to have a particularly productive relationship. He also said that he wasn't going to forget comments that have been made about his proposal to close America's borders to Muslims by the new London mayor, Sadiq Khan, who of course is the first elected Muslim mayor in any Western European city. Now, all of these comments by Donald Trump serve to worry members of the foreign policy elite here in Washington, D.C., because, you know, this special relationship transatlantically between Britain and the United States usually transcends politics. Even when you've got a British Prime Minister and an American President who aren't necessarily political soulmates, they always say that there is a special relationship, a special bond that unites the two countries. And here's Donald Trump saying that if he becomes President, the entente may not be quite so cordial across the Atlantic, and that is further grist to the mill for those here in Washington, D.C., who say that Donald Trump is willing to play fast and loose, even with established diplomatic protocols, as he prepares to launch his full-scale bid for the White House.
And this comes on top of doubts that he's cast on other relationships and alliances with countries like South Korea and Japan. But again, the question we've asked right along is, while those will worry people who spend time thinking about American foreign policy, will it worry those people who are currently supporting him and do anything to derail his bid for the White House?
Well, you know, Guyon, he seems to be calculating that it will not. I mean, this sort of shoot-from-the-hip policymaking that we've seen exhibited over the last several months by Mr. Trump has certainly not dented his popularity among those grassroots Republican supporters who have been backing him. And over the weekend, senior Republican figures here in Washington, D.C., said the more the sort of the mainstream media here in Washington picks over Donald Trump's statements and criticizes him for standards that often appear to be double standards, because what he says on any one day, he may go back on the following day. Those Republican Party figures say it doesn't appear to be touching him, and the vast majority of his supporters don't seem in any way to be put off by it. The problem, of course, for Donald Trump is that it's not his core grassroots supporters that are going to win him the presidency. The presidential election will be won in the middle of the country in battleground states like Ohio, Florida, Pennsylvania, where he's got to find a way of reaching the so-called swing voters, voters who sometimes go Democratic and other times go Republican. And it remains to be seen how all of this shoot-from-the-hip approach is going to go down with them.
So that's foreign policy. Domestically, there's been a lot of attention on his behaviour towards women in his past after the New York Times ran an investigative piece on this, but it looks like that has blown up in their face a little bit as well, Simon.
Well, I think it has. It's been a bad few hours for the New York Times. They are defending the reporting in that front page splash that appeared in Sunday's edition of the newspaper that took a look at Donald Trump's relationships both in the workplace and outside it with a variety of women who accused him of boorish and aggressive behaviour. But one of them, and not just any one of them, the principal witness in the piece, a woman called Roanne Anne Brewer Lane, who for a while was Donald Trump's girlfriend, has taken to television here on numerous channels and in no uncertain terms is accusing the New York Times of having twisted her words and having misquoted her. And indeed, she says that far from viewing Donald Trump as aggressive and boorish, she found him to be very responsible, very gentlemanly, and very sensitive. And so, as I say, she is ubiquitous on American television, saying that the New York Times misrepresented her views. The newspaper is standing by its article, but this has been a wonderful opportunity for Donald Trump to take to social media and to tell his followers on Twitter that this is an example of a hatchet job by an East Coast elite newspaper that is determined to do him down. And her interviews prove that the New York Times got the story wrong.